Pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your very felt presence that is already here. Let us take our blinders off that we may see. See you in our midst, see you at work in our lives, and see you as Lord. Your kingdom is near. Let us proclaim it in all we do and say. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. It is so good to be here with you all again. Must be talking too loud. It's good to be here with you all again, as always, and such a great opportunity to come and proclaim the word of God. I'm not big on titles of sermons, but this one came quite easily. The campaigns are over. I must admit, I hate campaign season. And this from a person who loves political science and electoral politics. I didn't finish, but I did do some graduate work in political science. I hate the mudslinging, the name-calling, the character attacks, the avoidance of the issues that we the electorate, are most concerned with, and the downright ugliness of it all. This campaign season was a bit messier than usual. I'm sure you all would agree. A bit more unnerving and a lot uglier. Campaign historians, yes, that is a thing, that is a job you can have. They go back and forth with whether we actually had a worse campaign cycle, if this was the worst the nation has ever seen, or if it just feels that way. Perhaps it wasn't that bad, but to me it was horrible. Thank God the campaigns are over. We have an electoral college in the United States that is sort of a buffer from the electorate's popular vote. I personally became aware of this electoral college back in 2000 after my first opportunity to vote in a presidential election. I was dumbfounded that my perceived understanding of democracy had been circumvented and undermined, and to my understanding, diminished by a part of the democratic process that, although it's right there in the Constitution, no one talks about and most people have no idea how it works or why it is there. Did my vote actually count? Did any of our votes actually count? No matter our questions or misunderstandings, critiques, or protests, we had a 43rd president of the United States. The campaigns were over. I was excited by the prospect of being able to vote for our 44th president, the first African American to win the nomination of a major political party. And perhaps, America's claims of liberty and justice for all embodied, at least symbolically embodied, in this black man and his black family living in a house that was built by enslaved people. Maybe this would be the change that, whether we all sought it, we actually needed. Something was changing in America. Maybe America would be great. Not again, but for the first time, because she lived up to her promise of liberty and justice for all. And with all that audacity of hope and being fired up and ready to go, January 21st, 2009, the campaigns were over. And what about today? January 22nd, 2017. The campaigns are over. Neither our best hope for a statesman or stateswoman, a president that truly represents our wishes, our needs, the election of someone who may or who doesn't share in our vision for America, our understanding of a great nation, our broken democracy, a buffer, a person who would represent us. None of that makes a difference. the facts are that the campaigning is over. But there's something that can't be changed, that we all speak boldly. It is a political, social, economic, spiritual, emotional, and even a physical, subversive truth, and yet a mystery. When we, as Christ followers, say that Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, 10 and 18 has something very familiar to speak to us today. In the text, Paul is rebuking the church at Corinth. Paul is calling on this whole community of faith to relinquish rivalry and overcome divisions, not just as a good act of governance for the church, but for God's elect as a sign to the whole world. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Political campaigns have infected the church. Some are claiming they belong to Paul. Some say they belong to Apollos, some Cephas, and some Christ. Think about this. I am a conservative. I am a liberal. I belong to the Republican Party, and I belong to the Democratic Party. You are a Republican. I am a Democrat. I voted for Trump. You are with her, and some of us are feeling the burn. Paul's responses to the church this morning. Has Christ been divided? Or better said, can Christ be a commodity, a possession that the political elite can use for their own personal gain? Are Christians, are we followers of Christ for sale? Are we something the political pundits wonder who has brought? Who won you over this year? Gained you? Who is your candidate for this election? Who has you in their back pocket this campaign season? But Paul is wondering, asking us, was it the Democratic Party crucified for you? Was Hillary Clinton crucified for you? Were you baptized for entrance into the Republican Party? Were you baptized in the name of Donald Trump? Paul is reminding us today that all other allegiances, obligations, identities take a back seat, and dare I say, they actually mean nothing when we decided to follow Christ. The campaign for your souls is over. As an elected official will tell you, any good elected official will tell you, after the campaign, after the swearing in, comes the hard work of governance. The founding documents of this nation ask us to make a more perfect union. This union, the work of unifying the nation that is deeply divided by rhetoric. Healing a church so deeply divided and bruised by racism and sexism and homophobia and xenophobia and anti-immigrant sentiment, fear and anger, and even rage. Are we the people of God giving into this status quo? How are we, the community of faith, participating in campaigns of hate and division and fear and discord? When we have more to say about our political affiliation than our Christ affiliation, something has gone terribly wrong. When we have no word of peace, no word of hope and love in the midst of all of this darkness and despair, is there no balm in Gilead, the prophet asks, to heal the sin-sick soul? Is there no fruit of love, peace, and joy ripe for the picking on your lips and in your lives as followers of Jesus Christ? When we act like there is no word from God, we diminish the word of God incarnate. Our Lord is Jesus Christ, and our Lord Jesus Christ we have given over to another kingdom. Paul says the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We have the power of God. We have the light Jesus Christ that can and will and has saved the world. Come and follow Christ, and he will make you fish for people. Hear these words from Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Repent. Repentance, brothers and sisters. We all must repent and return to our first love. The one who we proclaim on Sunday morning, but need to proclaim all throughout the week. Jesus is Lord. Repent because we have given our allegiance to the kingdom of God, not to the kingdoms of this world. Turn away from the ways of the world, from our chosen candidates and all other affiliations. Repent and proudly proclaim. The verses goes on to say, he beckons, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Follow him, ethically obeying him, his teachings, and modeling God's will in our lives. We pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," not "my kingdom come, not my will be done." We cannot follow Christ while following everyone and everything else. A single-minded devotion is what is needed in following Christ. A commitment to only answer God, not just once, but every day thereafter. No matter where the road may take us, no matter who the answer yes may take us to. Political candidates with persuasive campaigns will emerge all along the way. But we must make up in our mind that our identity, our soul identity, is in Christ. No campaign for our affection, allegiance, or souls should ever change or blur that truth. As we repent and as we reclaim our identity in Christ, we must learn something very important. Some of us don't like that term government, but governance, that work of the people, what folks do after campaigns are over, after inaugurations and parades and ceremonies, after the appointments have been made and the agendas have been set, the hard work of governing must take place. One definition for governance reads like this: as it relates to the process of interaction and decision making among the actors involved in a collective problem that leads to the creation, reinforcement, or reproduction of social norms and institutions. Rules, norms, and actions are structured, sustained, regulated, and the officials are held accountable. How do the people of God go about living in the age of God's kingdom? God's reign on earth requires governance. Our identity is in Christ, and so our governance should be shaped in and through Christ. The community of faith is called to another type of wisdom, not the wisdom of this world, but of the things that this world would actually call foolish, not of state power and national and economic or military power, but of the power of the living God, not of consuming people, wanting them to fear you more than they love you, or persuasive Machiavellian rhetoric, but by becoming fishers of people in love, beckoning them to follow Christ just as you do and have. There is a balm in Gilead. In God's reign, there is an answer to racism and sexism. There are many answers. Galatians 3 and 28 is just one. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave nor free. There is no longer male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus, God's governance looks like unity. We are all one in Christ Jesus. There is an answer to homophobia. John 13 and 35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. There's that word again, love. There is an answer to xenophobia and anti-immigrant sentiment right here in the Word of God. Leviticus 19 and 34, the foreigner who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the foreigner as yourself, for you were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. As if God is reminding us who is the sovereign here. God gets to set the agenda. It is Jesus that we say is Lord. The agenda of God's administration and eternal reign looks like governance, networks of mutual love and concern. All relationships must be reinterpreted through the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross. Foolishness of this world to confound the wise. It overturns all previous claims to power and status. The campaigns are over. It is time for us as a church, as the kingdom of God, to repent. The campaigns are over. No matter who we voted for or put our political, national, regional hopes in, we must reclaim and reorient our identity to and in Christ. The campaigns are over. It is time for the people of God to shed our discord, disunity, and divisions that the world sees so very clearly. It amazes me that Christians want the folks in Congress to get themselves together, and we can't get ourselves together. How is the Senate and the House of Representatives to know how to act in unity, and the children of God who are here because they love one another and are to be known by their love can't even do that? To follow Jesus, we must be willing to strip ourselves of all earthly candidates and campaigns that would distract or try to entice us to other kingdoms. We need to be about our Heavenly Father's business, not about the Founding Father's business or even our earthly father's business. We have God's understanding of a kingdom of no end, a kingdom where his children walk in unity and truth and love. And in all of this, God has given us something that the world can't take away. The power of God, which is in the Holy Spirit, animates us and invigorates us and allows us to do all of this, to reorient ourselves and our identity in Christ, to repent and to go about governing in a way that would make our Lord not only proud, but make us be the children of light that we have called to be, that we have been called to be. Amen. Amen.